So we're in a process under construction for something that's coming. Now, right now, it doesn't look too good. Right now, we just, have you ever went someplace to a restaurant and they'll have a sign under construction, sorry for the inconvenience. You got to walk around, work around some stuff. It might be traffic in the road. You're like, what's going on? And all of a sudden, they're working on the road. Or they say they're working. I always see them standing, but that's another thing for another time, right? It's like, why don't they do that at night when nobody's driving? Come on. And it's like under construction. Nobody likes the under construction phase. Maybe you do. I don't. I mean, I don't get excited when they're working on the highway. I don't get excited when they're working on the restaurant I'm in. I don't get excited because it can be a mess. It can be an inconvenience. But boy, when it's done, and you drive down that extra lane on that highway and traffic's not so bad, or that restaurant's been remodeled and it's nice, or the church has got a different look for Christmas. Come on, somebody. Because right now, you just see this ugly tarp. You don't see what's behind it too much. You can see a little bit, but you don't know the plans yet. And we got some plans. We got some great ideas that we believe are God ideas. And when we pull that tarp down, we want it, when you walk in, you think, wow, now that's cool. Because when you get into that moment, you forget about the under construction because you're excited about what's there. See, and that's the plan. You don't understand all the plans that God has for you. He's got great plans. The Bible says he knows where you're at, what you're called to do. He knows the ins and outs. And he's got great plans. And he reveals bits and pieces. And we see vaguely some of the stuff. But when we allow him to work on us and we go under construction, it's not always pleasant in the moment, but it's always good. Because once the curtain comes down and you begin to see what he's been developing in you the whole time, then you can say, wow, God is so good. God is, you know, we celebrate those moments. We celebrate those moments in people's lives of what God's done. But a lot of times people don't tell us about the journey. They don't tell us what they walked out to get into that new season. They don't tell us what they gave up to climb higher in that destiny. They just show the trophy. It's like a fighter. You know what I mean? He lifts up the belt. And everybody celebrates and they think, wow, wouldn't it be cool to be heavyweight champion of the world? You start even, some of us guys will start, man, I'd really be bad to the bone if I was a heavy man. Dude, nobody would mess with me. But they don't show always the training that went into, because a champion's not made in the ring. A champion's only discovered in the ring. A champion is made in the routine. A champion is not made in the ring. A champion's made in the routine. It's in the process of development. It's the process of growth that brings us to that place. People say, wow, God's blessed me and I got 20 businesses and things are going great. What was the journey to get to the 20 businesses? It wasn't overnight. We like the overnight. That's why infomercials are so great at nighttime when you get tired, frustrated, and you watch how you can look like them, drive that car, come on somebody, own those houses, if you just send them so much money, and in 30 days, oh, 90 days, have you ever noticed, and then they'll have, if you look at the real small fine print down low, you could look from this. They went from here to there in 90 days, and we've all done it. You picked up the phone, and we don't want to admit it. I want to look like that in 90 days by Christmas time. Boy, I'll show my family when they see me. What happens? Well, we want the quick fix instead of the journey that really produces. Trees that grow fast, they tell us. Trees that grow fast and tall, and there are some. Usually they can be seen quicker, they grow higher, but they fall the first at the first sign of a storm because they don't have a root system. Trees that develop root systems first, they grow slower, but they can reach actually taller. Because when the winds start blowing, they stand stronger. In our world, in our society, I'll be straight with you. In our world and society, we have, and it's probably this way in every generation, we have gotten so much, now don't misunderstand, we have gotten so much to the outward appearance of stuff. The branding, the marketing, the perspective. And I'm not saying that that stuff in itself is wrong. We need to take care of ourselves. We need to look right. We need to have a good presentation. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Don't point to your neighbor. But sometimes we spend all our energy on that and nothing on our inside, the root system, because we strive so hard to be successful or to have the life that we see people on TV, movie stars or athletes or the rich and the famous or the celebrities. And I mean, and with the introduction, and before it was like, well, that's pretty far off, but with the introduction of YouTube and TV, and I mean, on your phone, you've got a full production suite, literally on your smartphone, that today there are people who have become celebrities in their own right just by having a YouTube channel. I mean, there's kids out there that their parents started videotaping them, and today they'll have 1 or 2 million followers, 8 years, 9 years, 10 years old, literally getting paid thousands of dollars because of the number of clicks. And I saw one where my daughter was watching it. They were having a meet and greet in New York City, and there was a line of people going down the street to meet these kids because they became famous. And we look at this stuff and say, man, I could be famous. I'm going to get me a YouTube channel too. I'm going to videotape everything. And you see, in reality, TV has messed people up where they think that, and all of a sudden, everything's on the outside. Have I got your attention yet? But if everything, my friend, is on the outside only, if 90% of our energy is on the outside only, we might look the part, but we're not the part. And if you're not the part, that means you don't have the reality of the evidence of it, the fruit of it, the stability of it, the root system, any way you want to say it. And you find yourself when storms of life come, and regardless if you're rich or famous, poor or forgotten, wherever you fall on the spectrum, the storms of life come. Jesus said that. Saved, saint, sinner, storms of life do come. Not all the time. We don't want them. We don't ask for them, but they do come. And those who build their life on the rock have the root system that can stand and not tumble. Who wants to build something that looks great on the inside, on the outside, and on the inside you know it's not, only to find that the first wind of a problem knocks them over? Nobody wants that. But that's how the path that most people follow. And we've been talking about this under construction because in the process it's not always pretty. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to our key verse here in Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. You can look to your screen if you want. And it says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And here's a couple of angles we've taken with this. Being confident of this one thing, that he who's begun a good work in you, God, when he works on you, is really working in you. He's working in you. He's working in you. He's working in you. We saw last week that the Bible says that to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work, and it's not talking about putting action to salvation. It's not saying do a bunch of stuff so you can be saved. It's actually saying put effort of obedience to what God has started in you. See, we see and I'll give you some references, I'll show you some verses, and I'll reference some in passing. Challenge everything I say with the Word of God because I need you to dig deeper so you can grow stronger. And you'll find that the Bible tells us that when we obey God's Word and we begin to work this thing out, that when you get saved, that the seed, the nature of God is on the inside of you. Matthew 13 shows us that that seed is the Word of God. And as you allow that Word of God, we see John 1:1 that Jesus is the Word. And the Bible says in John John 1 later on in that chapter, that those who received him, to them he gave power to become. See, God doesn't want you to leave you where you're at on the outside. He's done a work on the inside and he wants to change the outside, but he doesn't start with the outside. He starts with the inside and allows the inside to rise up big in you. It's one thing to get you to a place of promotion, but if you're not equipped for that promotion, you will destroy it yourself. You can inherit money, but you cannot inherit correctly positions. It's like if your parent was a president, a CEO of a company, and you've never ran a business, you might inherit a major corporation. Say, oh, well, that was my dad. Now I'm going to run all 20,000 employees. If you've never ran two employees, you can inherit his money, but not his position, not his standing. It's if your father was a heavyweight champion and had the belt and then passed away, you might get his money, but you don't get the title. Because the moment you grab that belt and go into the ring to defend the title, see the point. There is an equipping that God is doing, and what he started on the inside, he wants to continue to work that out to the outside of you so that you can not only be successful, but not let the success bury you. You can be healthy and wealthy and wise and not let the position or fame or title bury you. Some people are so buried, they don't even know who they are anymore. And the pressure, you think, oh, if I was successful, I'd be so happy. If you're not doing it God's way, the success will bury you. If I just won all that money, I'd be so happy. No, money reveals your character. And you look at people who win the lottery, and within 7 years or more, they are worse off than they were before financially than they were before they won it. Why? Because it came to them, but they couldn't handle what came to them. Your gift can take you where your character can keep you. God is working in you, and he starts this process on the inside of us, and it's a good work. Say, it's a good work. Come on, second service. Don't shout me down. You guys are being way too quiet. It's a good work. Say, it's a good work. And he is working this out, and Philippians tells us to be a part of that process and work it out. And then it goes on to say, for it is God who's given you the desire and the ability to do what pleases him, which tells us that God is working in you, giving you the power, the ability, but also the desire. The desire. See, when God's working in you, he'll place his desires in your heart. That's why the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. He will give you. It does not mean that if you have a desire for a new car, that if you delight yourself in God, he'll give you a new car. Though God doesn't mind you having a new car. There's a balance to this. God doesn't mind you having stuff. He just doesn't want stuff to have you. That's the proving point of generosity. It's not, money's not the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. And the testing and to keep money in check, you got to be willing to be generous as God directs you. If you're not willing to be generous with it because you've got to hold it all because of what you can buy, then you love money. It's not the money, it's your love for it. I got to move on. And so God is working this out in you. He's bringing this out so that you can not only be successful, but the success don't hold you and handle you. You handle it correctly. You handle it correctly. So the multicolored coat from your father that made you prideful to your brothers, he couldn't wear it yet. What God was bringing to him was the coat of Pharaoh, a place of authority, making Joseph the most powerful person, only to the Pharaoh, second only to the Pharaoh of the whole world. Because Egypt at that point had conquered the whole world. And God was preparing him for his destiny to save a nation that he needed somebody to carry an authority that would open up the doorway to a future generation that God would fit within the plan of God. So God was trying to work Joseph so his shoulders would be able to wear a coat that was so powerful that he would be the second most powerful, influential person and not use it for his own benefit. But he started off in the journey wearing the coat that his father made that had no intrinsic value, that had no authority value, had no powerful value, but it gave him pride because it was something a little bit better that his brothers got. And as long as you live in a rhythm of life trying to get something just a little bit better than those around you so you can look better than them, you are in a place of pride and robbing yourself of the coat that your father's got prepared for you. He had to get to a place where his brothers did kneel at him and kneel down before him. He said, no, stand up, stand up. He had to grow. And though he went through a tough journey, the plan of God is not to make you go through a hard time to grow. Although you can, and I can prove that because the Bible says to draw, desire the milk of the word that you may grow thereby. I am not a preacher or a believer that hard things make you grow. I believe that sometimes people go through hard things and then they turn to the word, and the turning to the word makes you grow. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. If hard times made you grow, then everybody in Ethiopia that's starving should be the most spiritually mature, anointed people on the planet. And they're not. It's a religious cop-out to say the hard things make us grow because then we feel better about the challenges of life. God doesn't want you to sit back and say, I'm going through a hard time and Jesus is making me. No. You know how you get out, how you make something out of this situation? What the enemy meant for evil, you turn for good and you wake up to the word of God and focus on the rise shine, for the light has come and the glory of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 60 says, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. You got to stand up, rise up in who God called you to be by the rhema of the revelation of the word of God that God has brought to you. For your word, oh God, is a lamp unto my feet and a light into my path. And it's the entrance of his word that gives us light. And as God reveals his word, you rise up into that in obedience, and then you become. James says that a person who hears the word and doesn't obey it is as this person that looks into the mirror and sees who they are by reflection, but goes away and forgets what manner of person they are. But a person, if that's true, then the other's true. Than a person who looks into the word of God, what are they seeing? They're just not seeing words. They're catching the vision of who God made them to be. And when they obey it, they remember out in the highways, out in the byways, out in the challenges, out in the battles. Wait a minute, this is not me. Because when the devil attacks, he throws darts, but God's giving you the armor of God to wage war against the enemy and become victorious. And you got to pick up the shield of faith. God didn't say drop it all and just take the beating. He said pick up the shield of faith and quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Then take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's your offensive weapon, is the word. God didn't call you to be a victim. He called you to be a victor. Now, thanks be to God, which always causes you to triumph through Christ Jesus in all things everywhere. What am I telling you? God's plan is for you to be victorious. God wants you to be successful. And he does that by developing this identity on who you are on the inside that comes out of the word of God. Not someone just talking you through. That's mind over matter, just telling you. But when you get the word over the matter, and all of a sudden you begin to see that the work that God's doing in you, it's good because he's reshaping you. He's redefining you. The Bible says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're getting information, and the Spirit of God has taken that as a revelation. And now you're not competing against everybody or anybody. No, you're running your own race. Romans 12, verse 2 says, run the race set before you. You're walking this journey out. Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you. You're just walking this out, following the word of God, following the word of God, following the word. As you're obeying the word of God and digging deep into the word, it's not sending the word off to the shelf to the side and say, well, I guess if God wants me to have it, he'll give it to me. He'll just force it on me. No, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. You got to be aggressive for the things of God. You got to be hungry for the things of God. You don't get it being passive. You don't be getting passively waiting. Well, I guess if it's going to happen. No, you got to rise up and say, God, if you said it's mine, it's mine. Mark 11, 23, 24. When you pray, believe that you have already received them and then you'll have it. You got to get a hold of the word of God. That's the sword of the Spirit. You got to get a hold of that word. You got to get a hold of the word. Too many of us are hanging on to emotions. kids and whims and dreams that didn't come from the heart of God. And we're doing it based on what we see around us. But you can't be guided by society's perception around you. You can't be guided by the latest reality TV program. You can't be guided by the latest polls, the who knows is right or wrong. You have to be guided by the word of God, who will shine on the inside and direct your steps, for the steps of the righteous, right standing, are ordered, directed of the Lord. And as you walk it out, as you simply obey, just like Mary, the mother of Jesus, told the servants at the wedding of Cana, whatever he tells you to do, just obey. Whatever he tells you to do, just obey. And Jesus said, why are you coming to me? Just do what he tells you. Jesus didn't go to them, they came to him. They're so hungry, Lord, you got to show me. You got to speak to me. Show me what to do and I'll obey. Because Mary learned at an early age as a child when an angel showed up and told her something that made no sense to her, would make no sense to her family, would make no sense to the neighborhood, would make no sense, and that would be a young girl who's a virgin is going to give birth to the baby, though she's never been with a man. That don't make any sense, but she came to a place, God, if you said it, the actual King James says, be it unto me. Hallelujah. Be it unto me. Be it unto me according to your word. See, that's where God wants you to get, that you're not looking. The Bible says don't focus on the temporary things. That means things that are subject to change. Don't make that the validation of who you are, but begin to focus. Set your affection on things above. Begin to focus on the truth of God's word, what he reveals unto you, because that's the eternal. The word does not change. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never fail. It's the rock to stand on it. And when you begin to dig in the word and he makes it alive, have you ever read the Bible and all of a sudden you've read that verse before, but this time it's something different. This time it's just not passing over. This time it's not just you reading it. As you read it, something came alive in your heart. Something began to burn. I'm reminded of the two men after. Are we having fun? Thank you, Jesus. I'm reminded of the two men after the resurrection that had left and were on their journey. And the Bible says that the resurrected Jesus showed up and began to walk with them. And Jesus said, what's the matter? And they said, are you a stranger? Have you not heard? They've just killed, crucified our Lord and Savior Jesus. They're talking to Jesus about Jesus and didn't see that it was Jesus the whole time. Haven't you heard? And Jesus began to walk, and they said, the scripture tells us that as they walked on their journey, Jesus began to go from Old Testament all the way through and begin to show the fulfillment, how the Messiah had to die. That it was a part of the plan. And then he got to the place, and they said, as he was continuing, they encouraged him, won't you please stay with us? It's late. Sure, I'll stay. And they went in, and as he sat down and broke the bread, they all of a sudden saw. They begin to see. As they broke the bread, they begin to see who he was. It wasn't until the bread was broken they begin to see. He said, my body is the bread. He said, you got to understand, when you open the word of God, you'll begin to see. And he vanished out of their sight, and they said to themselves, to each other, did not our heart burn within us as we walked along the way? And didn't it burn within us? His words were stirring something on the inside. As you get that stirring of the rhema of God's word in your life, it'll give you a vision of who he is, so you know with clarity, but it's just not him, because he's the vine and you're the branch. If you get an understanding of the vine, then you'll know who you are. If you know who you are, then the life that's in the vine will flow to the branch. We're producing fruit that is so evident that anybody walking by can see that that tree is an apple tree. Not because I know the root, not because I know the branch, I know the fruit. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Say, I'm walking this out. It's not overnight, but I'm walking this out, and he's changing. He's working in me, giving me the right desires, helping me deal with the old wrong desires. Help me uproot some stuff that's been planted. Matthew 13, the word can be planted. Garbage can also be planted. Wickedness can be planted. Lust can be planted. Hatred can be planted. Revenge can be planted. All those are seeds. That's why the Bible says, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. Out of it flows the issues of life. God's got so much for you, but you got to be willing to let him guide you, direct you, because he's empowered you already. Didn't he say, when they understood who he was, Peter said, you are the Son of God. You are the Messiah. And Jesus said, Petros, or Simon at that time, I'm changing your name to Petros, Rock, Peter, we call him. And because upon that revelation, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That doesn't mean that that hell won't overcome. That means hell can't keep you out. I'll prove it to you. Because a gate is the last line of defense for the city. If you can get through the gate, you're in the city. All the soldiers for the city in those days were outside fighting the wars. And when they were gone fighting, you were hoping they were winning. But if you ever saw the enemy's flag and the enemy soldiers coming to the city, around the gates and around the walls, then you knew you had a problem because they had just defeated your army somewhere else. And the last line of defense you got is the gate and the wall. And if they can get through the gate and the wall, guess what? There's nobody else that can stop them from taking all the possessions. And Jesus was saying, listen, on this revelation of who I am, the gates of hell, the things the enemy is trying to hold back from you, it cannot keep you out. Jesus said that a strong man is secure in all his deeds and all his possessions, I should say. A strong man is secure, but when a stronger than he shows up. Yeah. See, the devil's got some stuff and he didn't get it rightfully. For John 10:10 tells us, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said he didn't leave it there. But I've come that you might have abundant life, that you might have abundant life, more than you can imagine, the quality of life, just not in quantity, a quality. And I'm telling you, though the enemy might try to take it from you, you have authority to not only resist the devil and make him flee, but there's another level. It's taking back what belongs to you. We want you to grow in the character of Christ. We want you to grow in the nature of God because it's high time. It's enough from letting the devil kick your teeth in and taking what he wants without somebody standing up and saying, put your hands off that stuff. Get your hands off my marriage. Get your hands off my physical body. Get your dirty hands off my possessions. Get your hands off my kids. You will not get access. You don't have right. You can't sit back and hope the devil overlooks you. No. You're a light. You're a light. And that light, when it shines, darkness must flee. You don't turn on a light switch in your house and see a debate between darkness and light. No. It might be the darkest room you've ever seen, but the moment you flip on the switch, the light shows up and darkness flees. In fact, the actual definition of darkness is the absence of light. But when you walk into the room in the name of Jesus, I don't care what room, when you're in obedience to God, you are anointed of God. You are the light of God. Jesus said, you're the light to the world. And when you walk in, things change, not because you even prayed, but because you are the temple of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God is in you, and things are changing even now in your world because you're becoming aware that you're not a victim. You're not passive. You are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. If you believe that, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. He is doing a good work in you. You have authority to uproot that garbage. What you bind will be bound. What you loose will be loosed. You're like, oh, I've been dealing with anger problems. Uproot that garbage. Quit watching that garbage. Isn't it amazing? The human tendency is to believe that rules or principles work for other people, but we are exempt. There's a human tendency, natural tendency for all of us to think that it will happen for others, but never for us. Oh, I can get by with that. I'm exempt. But what you sow, you shall reap. That's just not talking about money. For he that sows to the flesh will reap corruption. He that sows to the spirit will reap life everlasting. what you invest in. Some of us, don't look at me in the tone of voice, some of us only invest coming to church once every 6 months, and we think that should be good enough. And we don't mind spending hours watching a movie. And I'm not against movies. But if you ever had anybody suggest to you spending a couple hours in prayer or a couple hours in the Word, you would almost think, well, that'd be a little fanatical. But you'll get there early to a theater to watch the 30 minutes of previews before you watch the two-hour movie. I got to move on. We're out of time. But you might look and say, but Pastor, I've been dealing with this. I don't think it'll ever change. It's because what you're looking at. It's what you're looking at. Last verse. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 says, therefore judge nothing before the time. The context of judgment is like a judge with a gavel bringing finality, which means never to change. Do you know what happens? If we're not careful, we will think that the defining lines, parameters, expression, definition of our world is of such nature that it won't change. And when you believe that, that's where your faith's at. But when you begin to say, God, if there's something in my life that you want to see different, speak. Like David said, search me like a book. If there's anything that's displeasing, why? Because David knew when God would begin to deal with him, it was for his benefit, not just God's. What am I telling you? When we look at construction situations, it's not always fun in the moment, but there's anticipation of what's next. That's a hope. When you understand that there's always room for growth, that should create an expectation of God. I don't have to stay where I'm at today. It might be a good place where you're at today. Praise God. Everything might be flowing perfectly for you. Praise God. And I'm not a preacher that says, if you're at the top, get ready to come back down. No, I'm a preacher that says, if you're at the top, get ready to go higher. Because Proverbs 4 says that the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter and brighter to that completed day. So wherever your high point is, that can just be your future last step. And you're going higher. God wants you to grow. God wants you to improve. God wants you to succeed. God wants you to do it. And the Bible says that he'll give you the success without the stress. For you remember, it's the Lord your God that's given you power to get wealth. And he will bless you without adding sorrow to it. Success without the stress. So you can handle it without letting it get to your head because it's flowing from your heart. Amen.